Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Welcome back. During this 19th session, I want to review the concept of position-independent programming and to take you through the self-moving position-independent program from the end of the last lesson. Get the source code loaded again for the walkthrough.
Find program number 29 in the book and follow the instructions. This is an EdTASM Plus program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded an EdTASM Plus program. Display this program using the P command and compare it to program number 29. If it appears correct, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program listing and try again.
The opening lines of the source code should look familiar to you. Interrupts are disabled to keep the tone pure. The sound latch is opened. Recall that sound latch opening process from the Morse code routine. The video address 1000 is selected via the SAM registers. High-resolution color graphics, color set, and level of detail are selected through an address port. Up to that point, everything is as it has been. The real differences begin with the routine labeled Erase. The value identified with the label Differ has been calculated by the assembler from my labels last minus first. The first byte of the program I labeled first, that's pretty logical, and one byte after the last byte I labeled last. At the start of the assembly listing, I have the assembler calculate last minus first, which is, of course, the length of the entire program. So accumulator B is loaded with the length of the program. There follow two significant instructions. LEAX first, comma, PCR, and LEAX minus differ, comma, X. LEAX first, comma, PCR requests that the assembler compute the distance from the program counter to the label first and make the resultant address available for use by the X register. In other words, after LEAX first, comma, PCR, the X register points to the beginning of the program. And that's pretty reasonable. We've done that before. Then comes the interesting instruction, LEAX minus differ, comma, X. That command instructs the processor to let X equal the present X value minus the value differ. The present X value is at the beginning of the program, and differ is the length. So that command instructs the processor to let X equal the present X value minus the value differ. So the effect of those two instructions is to point the X register to a place in memory one program length before the program itself. One more time through that. LEAX first, comma, PCR is a program counter relative instruction that calculates the distance between the current position of the program counter and the label first and assigns the resultant address to register X. Using this technique, X ends up pointing to the start of the program without ever knowing what absolute address that start point actually is until now. After that, LEAX minus differ, comma, X provides the X register with the effective address X offset by minus differ. In other words, let X equal X minus differ. X now points to a location in memory, differ places back from its previous position, still without ever knowing the absolute address beforehand. One last time. LEAX first, comma, PCR. Let X point to the address first places from the program counter. LEAX minus differ, comma, X. Let X point to the address minus differ places away from its previous position. No specific addresses are involved, it's position independent, and it's program counter relative. The next four instructions fill up the memory area from minus differ comma x to first with zeros. The B register contains differ, the total number of bytes in the program. That is, a block of memory as long as the program from minus differ comma x to first will be cleared to zero. That's what makes the program disappear on the screen. Following those contortions is a relative branch to the subroutine beep. I'll get back to beep in a minute. After the branch to and back from beep, the B register is once more loaded with the program's length. And following that, LEAX first, PCR, LEAY last, PCR. Again, using the program counter relative technique, the X register is pointed to the beginning of the program, and the Y register is pointed to the byte after the last byte in the program. By means of a standard load and store loop, which would be tiresomely familiar by now, the information pointed to by X is transferred to memory pointed to by Y, and both memory pointers are incremented by 1. The loop continues until B is decremented to 0. In other words, a copy of the program is made immediately following the end of itself. A program clone is produced. The final instruction is the grabber. The program is told to execute a branch to the label last. The last has become the first. The program, having just been copied, is born again and seemingly begins anew in a fresh area of memory. It once again sets up the video and sound parameters, a redundant act I included for effect, and at this point the reason for the erase routine presented earlier should become clear. Erase causes the previous program to be cleared out of memory. The program hides its own trail as it beeps and copies itself. So what you see is a screen full of memory, and revealed on that screen, you are watching a program that beeps, duplicates itself in a new location, branches into its new self, and eradicates its old self. Chances are you won't ever need to write a program like this, but you might want to write something like the beep subroutine, a routine that you can stuff anywhere you like in memory. Have a look at it. Part of its structure should be familiar. The A register is set up as the length of the beep, and there are values being sent out the sound port to the television or cassette. But there's something new. LEAX, waves, PCR, again using the program counter relative addressing, points the X register to a table labeled waves. So, what is this table? It might at first look like a table of addresses. It isn't. It's a 63-byte reference table. Well, these are bytes, not 16-bit addresses here. I just wanted to save myself some typing by compressing them the way you see them. You might consider that technique yourself occasionally to save a little typing. So the way you can read this table is as a group of 63 bytes, 1F, 1C, 19, 16, 13, 10, 0D, etc. Let me translate them back into the form in which I originally created them. They'll read like this. 0.0003073, 0.0995276, 0.1983681, 0.2952265, 0.3891352, 0.4791557, 0.564388 7, and 0.6439825. It goes on and on from there, 63 of those altogether. It's actually a table of mathematical signs made positive and multiplied by a constant so that the table falls into the range of positive integers 0 to 63. There's a reason for all of that permutation of those decimal sign values to positive integers. The reason I've done it is because the color computer contains a 6-bit digital-to-analog converter, a circuit which converts a 6-bit binary number into an equivalent voltage. The voltage can be used for a variety of purposes, including the production of sound. I've described this briefly when you were exploring the Morse code examples. This time you'll be putting it to use. Move back now to the beep routine itself in the program listing. Notice that beginning with the third instruction, the beep program loads the A accumulator with 3E, points the X register to that table, and then loads the value found at X, indexed by A, into the B accumulator. The value is shifted to the left from the low 6 bits to the high 6 bits, where it happens that the computer's digital-to-analog converter output happens to be wired. That value is then stored at S-port, the sound output address in the computer. A brief delay is made, then the next element in the table is acquired and output to the sound port until all 63 elements have been used up. The routine then loops until 255 repetitions of the table have been output. This sounds complicated, but hang on. There's not a lot to learn about hardware here, but just something you should consider. The sine wave is the simplest of all musical sounds. By creating a series of numerical values which outline a sine-shaped wave, and you can see that in the illustrations in your book, and subsequently putting those values through the computer's 6-bit converter, an equivalent sound wave is produced through the loudspeaker. It sounds like the sine wave it represents in numbers. Take a break now and make some changes in the subroutine. You can assemble and use the beep subroutine separately if you like. If you use it separately, remember to turn off interrupts by using ORCC, immediate 50, and also to turn on the sound latch by storing 3C at memory location FF23. I'd like you to play around with the length of the beep, that's found at line 630 being loaded into the A register, and play around with the frequency of the beep, found in the delay loop at line 800, and finally with the quality, the tone quality, the timbre of the sound, by changing the values in the wavetable beginning at line 860. It won't take much of a change to make a very, very audible difference. When you're comfortable with how these routines work, thoroughly review both this lesson and the previous one. I'll be back with a summary of position-independent programming, and then I'll finish up this session by introducing the remaining 6809E instructions.
Experiment with the length, pitch, and sound quality of the beep in this program. The length of the beep is loaded into the A register in line 630 of program 29. The frequency of the beep is found in the delay loop in line 800. The wavetable begins at line 860. When you are confident you understand the application of these features, return to the tape. Turn the tape off now.
Position-independent programming is the creation of machine language in a way that allows the final assembled binary program to execute anywhere in memory. This quality of position independence is achieved by making all memory pointers, program branches, and subroutines relative to the position of the program counter. In that way, the processor never needs to know where, but only needs to know how far from here, and the here is the program counter. Among the commands used with position-independent programming are the 36 variants of the branch with its 256-byte range, and variants of the long branch with its 65,536-byte range. Branches come in simple form, where they are always obeyed. Branches come in simple conditional form, where their actions depend on the state of a specific condition code. Branches come in unsigned conditional form for higher and lower judgments between two numbers. And finally, branches come in signed conditional form for greater than and less than judgments in respect to positive and negative arithmetic. The other commands to achieve position independence are the LEA, or load effective address, group. When used with program counter relative condition, 16-bit registers can be pointed to any location in memory by virtue of that location's position relative to the current position of the program counter. It's almost mandatory to use an editor assembler like EdTASM Plus and labels to do this. For the experience, you might try hand-assembling a few LEAX instructions in the program counter-relative mode. It might take about 15 or 20 minutes each for you to do that. It's very complicated to get each bit, each byte, and each distance calculated. In any case, the advantages of position independence are obvious. The disadvantages are a slight increase in the amount of programming code required and a slight loss in execution speed. For fast action games and high speed, where position independence is hardly necessary anyway, compact address-specific programming is adequate and desirable. For utility programs, mathematical subroutines, and other semi-permanent programs, especially those which will be used with other machine language software, position independence is virtually required. Only a few commands remain in the 6809 instruction set. Some you've come across, and some are brand new to this course. One you've seen already is multiply, M-U-L. When mul is executed, the contents of the A accumulator is multiplied by the contents of the B accumulator, and the result of the multiplication is placed in the combined D accumulator. Now, this is an unsigned multiply, meaning the full 8-by-8-bit multiplication is completed without reference to it being positive or negative. Positive integers are assumed for this multiplication at all times. Although mul takes 11 machine cycles, it is the longest 6809 instruction, in fact, it saves the several steps required by other processors, where multiplication is done by many succeeding steps of shifting and adding. Another instruction you've already seen is no operation, mnemonic noop or nop. The noop has several uses, most frequently as a time waster for sound input-output communication or other timing loops. The noop takes 2 cycles to execute, during which no other aspect of the processor's operation is affected. Another instruction which you haven't specifically used but is in a familiar family is exchange, EXG. Like the transfer, TFR command, exchange, EXG, uses an opcode and a post byte to describe the registers needed. TFR replicates the value in the source register into the destination register. EXG, exchange, swaps the values in the two registers. Exchange is useful for organizing A and B registers properly in the 16-bit D register, or for placing information into the more flexible X register, or for temporarily swapping stacks and so forth. Since I just mentioned the X register as being more flexible, I'll present the command ABX. ABX, add B to X, instructs the processor to add the value of the B register to the X register. This inherent instruction is very fast and acts as a kind of fixed increment for X. If X has to move through a high-resolution graphics screen, hex 80 bytes at a time, for example, it would be most efficient to set B to 80 and execute ABX every time it moves through the screen. Especially inside a loop, ABX, add B to X, would bump the X pointer down to the next graphics screen line in a short time. 2 complementary instructions are add with carry, ADC, and subtract with borrow, SBC. These are standard add and subtract commands, except that the carry-borrow flag is made a part of the computation. For calculating very large or very small numbers, several bytes are often required. When 2 bytes are added, and a carry is generated, that carry has to be added into the next byte in order to keep the number incrementing correctly. I'll talk more about ADC, add with carry, and SBC, subtract with borrow, when I get to the representation of numbers in a later lesson. Test and bit, TST and BIT, are related quick testing instructions. Bit causes the processor to AND the value of an accumulator with a memory location. In this case, certain flags are affected, but the original contents of both accumulator and memory remain unchanged. Bit is particularly useful for locating numbers or ASCII strings in memory, since the value in the accumulator isn't affected as it moves and tests byte after byte. TST, test, is similar to bit, but is oriented towards signed numbers. Test tests the value of the operand, which can be a memory location or either accumulator, and sets the negative and zero flags according to what it finds. Signed conditional branches, BGT, BLE, greater than, less than, or equal, BGE, BLT, greater than or equal and less than, BEQ and BNE, equal and not equal, are usually placed immediately after the TST, the test instruction. The next instruction also has to do with signed arithmetic, called signextend, SEX. It results in the sign of the B accumulator being extended into the A accumulator for a complete signed 16-bit number in the D register. That's really quite easy. In other words, if B is a positive number, A will become 00. If B is hex 77, for example, after sex, sign extend, the D register will be 0077. On the other hand, if B is a negative number, A will become hex FF. That is, if B is, for example, FC, which is minus 4 decimal in 8-bit signed arithmetic, a negative number, its sign is extended so that the resulting D register is FFFC, still minus 4 decimal in 16-bit arithmetic. So one more time through that. If B is FC, minus 4 decimal 8-bit, then D becomes FFFC, still minus 4 decimal in 16-bit arithmetic. If it isn't completely clear, count backwards, first in 8 bits and then in 16 bits. Starting with 00 in 8-bit arithmetic, FF is minus 1, FE is minus 2, FD is minus 3, FC is minus 4. Now, 16-bit arithmetic start with 0000. FFFF is minus 1, FFFE is minus 2, FFFD is minus 3, FFFC is minus 4. Sign extend, mnemonic SEX, sees to it that an 8-bit signed value is properly transformed into a 16-bit signed value. All that's left is DAA, the decimal addition adjustment. Microprocessors are working in binary, base 2, and that operation is represented by hexadecimal, base 16. You know all that by now, and also you know that none of this fits very well with base 10, the decimal system. Some processors contain a decimal mode of operation, where adjustments are made automatically after every computation to compensate for the base 10 system. In other words, no number larger than binary 1001 is allowed in any given nibble. Well, and sadly, decimal mode is one of the few desirable features not found on the 6809 processor. In its place is the instruction Decimal Addition Adjust, or DAA. When executed after an add or ADC command, the values in the accumulator are converted from true binary mode to a decimal version called binary coded decimal, or BCD. The nibbles of the byte are adjusted, and the carry flag set if necessary to turn the binary result into BCD. Here's an example. If I were to load A immediate with 77, and then add A immediate 77, note that both of these are binary coded decimal numbers to start with, although they look like hex. The binary result would be in hex EE. Now, we don't want that. I want it to be decimal representation, but the processor treats them as if they were strictly binary. If I follow those commands, load A immediate 77 with and add A immediate 77 with DAA, a series of tests and corrections are automatically made. 5-4 is left in the accumulator, and the carry flag is set. That's the number 154 in BCD. The 1 is the carry flag. The sum of 77 BCD plus 77 BCD. 77 and 77 is 154. So 77 plus 77 hex, thought of as BCD, result in EE, decimal adjust accumulator, to 5-4 with a carry flag set. Regular decimal arithmetic. Review the summary of DAA on page 43 of your EDTASM Plus manual. There will be more on DAA a little bit later. Oh, by the way, it's especially with an operation such as DAA that the command add with carry, ADC, comes into play. The carry generated by DAA in the previous example has to be taken into consideration when doing arithmetic with larger numbers. Keep all that in mind. I'll be covering that and much more in Representation of Numbers, the next lesson.